Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning, Jed. How are you?
Morning, Jed.
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Doing great. Really enjoyed the series in Miami. More like that, please, right?
No doubt. I'm pounding coffee right now because you got back kind of late, but it's a lot better flight when the game's about 2 hours and 20 minutes, and Cole Hamels pitches great.
Yeah,
it's a better morning than expected.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah, it's a different vibe entirely than a week ago, Jed. In your mind, from your perspective, what was the biggest difference against the Marlins?
Well, that's how we played real clean baseball. You know, all three of our starting pitchers threw well. In particular, you know, Quintana and Hamels the last two nights with, you know, seven innings and no walks. And, you know, the game looks really simple when starting pitchers go seven scoreless and don't walk anyone and the defense plays well. I think that we all know that things can look almost formulaic when you get to that place where the starters look good. And we know it's not always going to be like that, but it's nice to see a really good turn through the rotation. And hopefully we can just keep on cranking out good starts.
You must be pleased with Daniel Descalzo. I mean, this guy is Ben Zobrist part two, right? I mean, he can play all over the place. He's been a great – what a clutch hitter he's been. Did you know that was coming?
Yeah, he's a pro. You know, he's a guy that plays the game the right way, is really clear-headed. You know, I was talking to him right after the game just about how they were defending him and how they were pitching him. And just has a real good idea about the game, about you know, the way to play winning baseball. I feel like he's a guy that we're going to be talking about in the game for decades after he's done playing. And all the reports we got on him were like this, that this is the kind of guy – you want as a bench player. He can really help you. You can move him around, and very much in the John Jay mold, where you think this guy is gonna work in baseball and have an impact for a long time.
Jed, one of the only bad things that happened in the last week or so was the injury to Victor Caratini. Obviously, Taylor Davis comes up to fill that role as a backup catcher. You have a couple off days where you don't need to use him necessarily, and Wilson can continue to play. But how aggressive have you been in pursuing possibly a veteran backup to fill that role until Victor's back?
We've certainly been looking. There's no question. Catching is just a position where you have injuries. You know, like pitching, you know you have to have depth, and we've been looking. You know, we like Taylor Davis a lot. He's a guy that, you know, has really worked his way and grinded his way through the minor league system. You know, he's a really good framer. He's a good offensive player. And so we're totally comfortable having him up in the big leagues, but we know we need depth. You know, the hamate bone is normally kind of a 4 to 5 week injury, and but you never know. I think you have to regain strength, with the hand and the wrist after that. So we're going to look, but like I said, I think we're comfortable with Taylor, and we love the way Wilson's playing right now. That said, we don't want to run Wilson into the ground.
I can't figure out if Chris Bryant, if there's something wrong, if he's healthy. And then, you know, you got Rizzo usually starts slow. Schwarber, what's up with those guys in particular? Because you're winning not because of, but in spite of.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that in general, you don't usually have seven or eight guys that are hot at the same time in a lineup. You usually have, you know, you hope you have three or four guys that are hot, and then three or four guys are usually trying to find it. And that's kind of what we have right now. You know, Baez and Contreras, you know, look fantastic. You know, as you mentioned, Descalzo and Hayward, those guys have been really good. You know, right now, you know, I think, you know, our two big guys are struggling, and I think that's kind of a good thing that we've won 7 out of 10 while those guys have struggled, and we know those guys will carry us at some point. With Rizzo, he's a slow starter. You know, we know that about him. We've seen it before, and I do think he's hitting some hard luck. With Chris, I just think he's searching a little bit right now. I have no doubt that he'll find it. He's totally healthy. So it's just a matter of, you know, finding his timing, finding his swing. And I think once he does, he'll hit some homers in bunches. But, yeah, it's been a slow start for those guys. But luckily, you know, the guys like Wilson and Javi have picked him up.
Jed, two things concerning Carl Edwards Jr. down at Iowa since his demotion. What's the extent of his hand injury suffered this week? And what does it mean when we read and hear about the Major League Baseball investigation into the racist social media post attacking Carl?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, the less important part, you know, he skinned his hand and he fell down the stairs. And it's pretty superficial. So I think once, you know, once that heals, he should be totally fine. Just kind of a random accident that's going to cost him, you know, a little bit of time, but not a lot of time. But as far as the post, you know, it's just a really sad, you know, a sad statement on society when people feel like they can post, you know, stuff like that with some sense of anonymity on social media. You know, especially, you know, we find out about it kind of in the week of the Jackie Robinson stuff. It is sad, but you know, I think that it's something that sadly players deal with. And I think, you know, Carl has talked about, you know, in the past he's dealt with it. I think this, you know, crossed the line and he reported it. And, you know, hopefully we can, you know, find the person who sent it. And hopefully we can, you know, whatever, you know, ways we can punish them, you know, hopefully we can do that. So it's something that kind of makes you sick to your stomach, and you just feel awful that we have players that have to deal with fans like that.
A good public shaming would go a long way. Just at least that, right? I mean, I hate that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's so out of line. And the majority of people in the world, I think, are good people. But unfortunately, you get some real cowards online.
Yeah, I, like I said, I think the anonymity or relative anonymity of social media, you know, allows people to feel like they can, you know, say things like that. And you know, to me, at the very least, you know, making sure that person can never, you know, watch a game at Wrigley Field again. I don't think you should have to. If you're going to say things like that about our players, I don't think you should have the privilege of watching the game there. I know that's, for example, right. I know that's something that the Jazz did with the, you know, the fan that was sort of, you know, making comments to Russell Westbrook, and it seems like an appropriate thing to take away with that privilege.
Jed, 2 weeks from tomorrow, Addison Russell can come off his suspension and come back and help the team if that's what you deem to be the case. And where are you and what is the plan with Addison Russell? And also, May could bring the return of Brandon Morrow. What those two guys are big potential pieces to this puzzle. What are the plans?
Yeah, well, as far as Addison, you know, he has been on track. You know, he's been, you know, really compliant and really eager to do everything that we've set out for him. And we always say it's conditional, and it still is very conditional, but he is, you know, he's working in the right direction. Now, right now, he's playing in the, you know, extended spring training games in Arizona, staying in shape. A week before he can come off, he's allowed to go on a rehab assignment, and you know, we'll kind of take it, you know, week to week with him, as we've said all along. But certainly, you know, he's put in all the work and done all the things that he's been asked of, and then some, which has been a good sign. And as far as Brandon Morrow, you know, I think given his injury history in the past, I think we've tried to take it really slow with him. You know, our goal is to get him back, and once we get him back, to know that he'll be you know, healthy and pitching for us for a while. So we probably have taken things on a pretty conservative route, and we'll continue to do that. But there's no doubt, you know, we're a different bullpen, you know, if we can get him back and healthy and throwing the way he can, because you know, we don't have that kind of electric stuff in the back of the bullpen, and we can, you know, we can also slot everyone else into a little bit better place if he's back. So we obviously want him back, but we're not going to rush him given his past.
This statistic I'm about to mention does not include last night, but I read that in the first eight games, the bullpen was like an 8-point-something ERA, and in the last eight, it's been 1.0. What has been the biggest difference? And Joe said when everybody was going crazy about the bullpen early in the year, it takes a month to kind of figure it out. Did it take that much time? And obviously you've had to demote a couple guys. There's been injury. There's been a lot of changes.
It's a good question. What really changed? I mean, that was a pretty incredible stretch. It just seemed like every moment where we could, you know, give up a multi-run, you know, homer or double, it happened. And that's not usually how baseball works. You know, usually guys don't always seem to get the big hit, the big moment, but for that stretch in Texas and in Atlanta, it did seem that way. And guys have stabilized. You guys have thrown well. I think in general, we've sort of played cleaner games, and I think that helps as well. Our starters have gone deeper. I think we've always felt like we had the seeds of a good bullpen. We just need to kind of let things sort out. And I still think we have some good pieces, you know, left to come. You know, like I said, hopefully we can get Morrow back and pitching the way he can. You know, Cedeno right now is going to pitch an inning in Tennessee tonight. Barnett is starting to throw games in Arizona. Hopefully CJ can get healthy and get right. And so I think we feel like we have the pieces and the seeds of a good bullpen. But like Joe said, sometimes it's about getting guys in the right places and getting guys confident. And, you know, we're not going to go anywhere if our bullpen pitches the way it does at the beginning of the year. We know that. And so it's so crucial to be able to hold leads. And, you know, the last week or so has been better, and hopefully we can continue that.
Jed, when Ian Happ went down to the minors, it was sort of applauded as a show of accountability and following through with Theo's suggestion that some guys need to make adjustments and adjust to the league after the league has adjusted to them. Kyle Schwarber's really struggling, and he has started well but has not been the same guy the last week or so. Would that ever be a consideration with Kyle Schwarber?
I mean, there's certainly nothing that's on our radar at all. Yeah, there's no doubt. He looked great at the beginning of the season. And then, you know, he's kind of had a, I don't know if it's a week, 10 days, I don't know how many games he's been struggling, but certainly it's been a struggle. I thought he took better swings last night. You know, Joe gave him those 2 days off, even though we were facing righties on Monday and Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And I thought he took good swings last night against guys with really good stuff. So hopefully, you know, clearing his head can help. And I do think sometimes early in the season, we're talking about these sort of micro bursts of slumps and, you know, certainly, we have a number of other guys, you know, in that same boat. So I think Kyle's going to get through this. We're definitely a different offense when he's swinging the way he can, and you know, hopefully he can just, you know, kind of clear his head after a bad stretch and get going again.
What about Kyle Hendricks? You know, I think even the evil algorithm Pecota liked him, and now talk about a microburst of a slump. He started the season pretty slow.
Yeah, one thing with Kyle is that. You know, I think he's really, I don't want to say mechanical, but when he gets off of his mechanics, sometimes it takes him a little bit of time to figure out exactly what's going on and to kind of and to correct it. And usually, once he corrects it, he keeps that correction for months and months and can have these dominant stretches that we've seen from him. And you know, he's been a little bit mechanically out of whack. He's been working on some things with Tommy Hotovy. He knows it. I think there's no pitcher I've ever been around that kind of knows themselves and is accountable to when he's right and when he's not right. And you know, he knows he's a little bit out of whack. He's been working, and I think in the next couple starts we're going to see him lock it in. And I think once he does that, I think we'll see, like I said, one of those, you know, 2 month runs where he's totally dominant. But he's not someone that we're worried about even at a little bit.
Starting pitching has been great since John Lester went on the injured list, Jed, but obviously he's going to be a guy you need and you count on. What is his status and how has he recovered from that hamstring injury?
He's been doing great. You know, he stayed back from the road trip and was working with our guys, and all the reports we got were really encouraging. And I think this weekend will give us a better sense of a timetable. You know, I know he's been throwing a lot to keep his arm in shape. So I think off day today, I think tomorrow we'll all sit down and we'll get a good sense from our medical staff, you know, how to move forward. But it's all been positive so far, you know, very positive. But I would say that it is April, and our biggest concern is, you know, making sure there's not a recurrence of the injury. But hopefully we can get John back soon and sort of get that starting five rolling.
Jed, thanks a ton. It's always a joy to talk to you. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Jed.
All right, guys. Anytime.
That's Jed Hoyer, the Cubs Executive Vice President and General Manager.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.